Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainis Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur today 8 lines from the top of Daf Lamed. On the side of the Gemara, under our No Say heading, the topic heading, we've written Mi'ut v'shino v'shinui ba'achila ushtia be'erev tishabov. Mi'ut is lessening, reducing, and shinui means changing, changes that we are to make regarding eating and drinking on the day before tishabov, on the 8th of Av. We are expected to do the following, and we'll see then in the Gemara what's intended. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah: Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tafshilin v'chulei, that on Erev Tisha B'Av one should not eat 2 cooked dishes. Omar Rav Yehuda lo shanu elo mishesh shosu l'mala. The restriction of not eating 2 tafshilin, 2 cooked dishes in his meal, is only regarding a meal that one has from after the 6th hour of the day. In other words, after the noon hour, the 6th hour being completed at say, if you count a day from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., so from 12 noon onwards, you would have this restriction. Avo mishesh shos ulamato, but from before noon, mutter, then you are allowed to have 2 tafshilin in your meal, 2 cooked dishes. V'oma Rav Yehuda lo shonu elo b'su'udo hamafsikbo. This is a second qualification of Rabbi Yehuda. The lo shanu is a qualification qualifying the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us about a restriction, so here is a second qualification of that restriction, and that is lo shanu elo besudo hamafsik bo. This restriction is only regarding the last meal before the fast. Mafsik means the stopping meal. In other words, the meal that represents your stopping of eating before the fast. Avol besudo she'eno mafsik bo mutter. But if it's a meal that is not the last meal before the fast, in other words, you're eating a meal at a certain hour and you plan to have another meal later prior to the fast. If we're talking about a meal other than the very last meal, then also you don't have this restriction. Utravayu lekula. Both of these teachings represent in the direction of being lenient. And now this halachic approach, by the way, we saw at the end of our previous shiur when we were talking about how to approach the restrictions of the week concerning Tisha B'Av. Here we have the same approach with regarding the day before Tisha B'Av, but we have 2 piskei halacha, 2 rulings, and we extract from the 2 rulings the aspects of leniency. And that's a little abstract, but we'll see how we apply it right now. I need both of these teachings, the one that says that the restriction of the Shnei Tafshilim is only after the 6th hour of the day, after noon, and it's only regarding the last meal of the day. Why would it not have been sufficient to teach just one of these qualifications and I would understand everything? Not so. Utsricha, di'i ashmi'inen besuda hamafsik ba, had we taught the qualification regarding the last meal, so that when you're eating the last meal, so then you have the restriction of not eating 2 tafshilin, just one. Hava amino, I would have thought, afilu mishesh shos ulamato. I would have thought that, well, if a person decides to have his last meal at 10 a.m., this restriction would apply of not eating to tafshilin. Komash malon, therefore it was necessary to teach me the second ruling of mishesh shos ulamalo, that the restriction of the second meaning, in this case, in terms of order of things, it's the number one halacha, which is the issue of sheish shos ulamalo. So we're taught that the restriction applies only with regard to a meal that's eaten after the noon hour. So practically speaking, that would be that if you are eating your last meal of the day, but at 10 a.m., you can have multiple tafshilin, multiple cooked dishes in the meal, even though it's the Suda Shemafsik Ba. The E Ashmi'in, and if we would have taught you the first halacha without the second halacha, meaning the Mishay Shol Sulamala, that the restriction applies only to a meal after noon, without the teaching of Suda Hamafsik Ba, I would have thought, Hava Amina, Afilu Besuda She'eno Mafsik Ba. Let's say a person is eating afternoon. He has a meal at 2 p.m., and he plans to have another meal at 4 p.m. So the meal at 2 p.m. is after noon. However, it's not the meal that he's Mafsik Ba. So I would have thought, had I just had the halacha of Sheish Shol Zilamalo, that the meal of 2 p.m. also has the restriction of only one tafshilin, not two tafshilin. Komash molon b'su'udo hamafsik ba. Therefore, we have the other halacha, the second teaching, which says that the restriction of Shnei Tafshilin applies only with regard to the last meal of the day. So, to put matters simply, the only time there is a restriction of not eating two Tafshilin would be the last meal of the day, provided it is being eaten after 12 noon. Tanyo Kalishno Kamo, Tanyo Kalishno Basra. We have Tanaic sources that support the two versions that we have had till now. Tanyo Kalishna Basra, the Braisa says, because till now it was an Amoraic teaching, we had teachings in the name of Rav Yehuda. Here we have an earlier Tanaic source. Hasayid Erev Tisha B'Av, a person was having a meal on the day before Tisha B'Av. Im osid lisoid suuda acheres, if he is planning to have another meal. In other words, we're talking about a meal that's not the last meal, that's not the suuda mafsikba. So you'll see that you don't have food restrictions. Mutur leachol basar, velishtos yayin. You are allowed to eat meat and you are allowed to drink wine. Vim lav, if he's not going to have another meal, in other words, this is his last meal, then also lechol basar v'lishtos, and then you do have the food restrictions. So this is what the second lashon of Rav Yehuda before was speaking about, was the suda hamafsik ba. Tanyo kalishna kamo. Now we have a source that supports the first teaching of Rav Yehuda. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal odam shnei tafshilin, lo yochal basar v'lo yishtei yayin. On Erev Tisha B'Av, so one is supposed to observe these eating restrictions, not to have two dishes, nor meat, nor wine. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, yishaneh. You should practice something different, and that's with regard to the issue of the shnei tafshilin. Omar Rebbe Yehuda, ketzad mishaneh. How do you fulfill this idea of changing? Im hoya rogil lechol shnei tafshilin, yochal min echad. If you were accustomed to having two dishes in your meal, have just one. Vim hoya rogil lisoid basora b'nei adam. If you were accustomed to eating with a group of 10 people, because, let's say, you were a man of honor and many people would join you for your meal, so aid b'chamisha. So you eat with fewer people, with five. If he was a regular with regard to having 10 cups, Shoyse Chamisha Kosos. So he should have 5 cups. Bame Dvor Mamurim, Mishay Shos Ulamalo. All of these restrictions or reductions are from 6 hours onwards. In other words, that's from after noon. Avol Mishay Shos Ulamato Muter. And here we've dashed underlined this because this is why we brought in the source. Here you see that from before the 6th hour of the day, then you don't have these restrictions. Now, we should, before we go any further, we have to point out our common disclaimer. Those of you who are veterans of Gemara markings have heard this said many times. Those of you who are first-time listeners, so let it be known. When we learn Gemara, we're learning just the Gemara text, and we're not associating the Gemara text with halacha lemaisa, with applied practical halacha. So that what we have learned now about the eating restrictions and they're being very limited to the day before Tisha B'Av, you will find that when it comes to practical applied halacha, the practice, the custom, is actually more strict, more limiting than that which we saw in the Gemara. But the Gemara, of course, does serve as the basis, the foundation of practical applied halacha. What we do in common practice, that already is another story. Tanyo Idach, we have another Tanaic source. Erev Tisha B'Av, Lo Yochal Odom Shnei Tavshilin. On the day before Tisha B'Av, the 8th of Av, during the day, Lo Yochal, a person should need 2 dishes, Lo Yochal Basar, Velo Yishte Yayin, nor meat, nor wine. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachomim Omrim Yishaneh. The Chachomim say that with regard to the issue of two tafshilin, so you do things differently. Umemaye v'basar v'yayin, and you reduce with regard to the meat and wine. Now here we use our house marking just like we used before. Ketzad mishaneh. Here we have ketzad b'ma'ed. How do you accomplish this? The idea of reduction. So, im hoya rogi lecho litra basar yochal chatzi litra. If he was accustomed to eating litra, is a certain weight, a certain amount of meat, so he should eat half the amount. Hoya rogi lishto is lug yayin yishte chatzi lug yayin. If he was accustomed to having a full lug, a liquid measure of wine, so he has half that measure. Im eino rogi kol iker. And if he is not a regular with drinking wine to begin with, so on Erev Tisha B'Av, he should not drink wine at all. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Oimer im hoya rogio lechol tznoin oy maliach achar sudaso harushus biyado. If a person has a practice of eating these kind of food items that are called tznoin. Tznoin often is translated as a radish. That's certainly in modern Hebrew, but in Gemara markings we don't commit ourselves to translating many botanical and zoological entities. So we'll just leave it as that. If he was accustomed to eating tznon or maliach, maliach has to do with something that's salted, preserved, so that you are allowed to eat. Tanya idach. Kol shehu mishum Tisha B'Av osur lechol basar v'osur lishtos yayin v'osur lirchotz. Now, anything that is Tisha B'Av related. Now, Rashi explains that expression is a reference to the Suda Shemafsik B'Av, the last meal before Tisha B'Av. So that last meal before Tisha B'Av is the meal that is, let's say, associated with Tisha B'Av. So there, you cannot eat meat nor drink wine. The Osir Lirchotz, and there's also a prohibition of washing. Kol She'eno Mishum Tisha B'Av, if it's not, let's say, it's not the last meal. And Rashi adds on this a meal that is before a public fast. In other words, in case of rain, lack of rain, drought-related fasts, as opposed to Tisha B'Av, which is not drought-related, it's a type of day of mourning. But those other kind of fasts, so that's kol she'eino mishum Tisha B'Av. It's not Tisha B'Av related. Mutur lechol basar v'lishtos yayin v'osir lirchotz. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi Oimer mishum Aviv. Rabbi Shmuel quotes his father Kol shah shemutir lechol mutir lirchotz. If it's a time at which you're allowed to eat, you are allowed to wash. And of course, this would be arguing with the Tanakama, who mentioned that those meals that precede the fast, well, even though you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine, you are prohibited in washing. So here you have Rabbi Yossi being makil with regard to the washing. Before we continue, we have on the side a nosei, a topic heading. We call this Hemshech. It continues the spirit of that which we've been discussing till now, and we've written Oid Hagbolos v'Isurim Hanogim B'Tishim of other restrictions and prohibitions with regard to Tisha B'Av. Tana Rabbanan, Kol Mitzvos Hanoiges Be'Evel Noiges B'Tisha B'Av. Those practices that a mourner is engaged in are practiced also on Tisha B'Av. There, as the Gemara goes on, there's a little bit extra that's mentioned here with regard to Tisha B'Av. Osir Bachilu B'Shtiyah, that's Tisha B'Av related. That one is not allowed to eat and drink. That is not true with regard to someone who was mourning. One who was in mourning, lo aleinu, nevertheless is allowed to eat and drink. So this expression of osur bachil v'shtiyah applies to Tisha B'Av. What else is restricted on Tisha B'Av? Ubirachitza, bathing, besichos, anointing with oils, ubenilas a sandal, the wearing of leather shoes, ubetasher shamita, intimacy with one's wife, v'osur likrois, b'terub v'nevim uksuvim. And now we get on to a section of prohibitions, restrictions regarding Torah learning. You might ask, wow, how can you restrict Torah learning? So we will see shortly in this source that Torah learning is a source of joy. It's called Mesamche Lev, and Tisha B'Av is a time that we are not engaged in joyful activities. So therefore, there is a Torah learning restriction. It's not total prohibition, as we will see later, but the bulk of Torah, the bulk of topics of Torah are off limits with regard to its study on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, it's also Likrois. In Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, the five books of Moses, the prophets, and the later writings, V'lishnois, B'mishnah, B'talmud, to study the oral law, the oral Torah in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, B'medrash, B'alochus, B'agodas, Avol. Korehu, B'mokom, Sheino, Rogil, Likrois. However, the Tanakhama says, you are allowed to learn areas of Torah that you are not familiar with, that you're not regular in learning. The Shoneh has to do with the oral Torah. Likros has to do with the written Torah, the Tanakh. Shoneh is Mishnayos, Gemara, the rest of the Torah that's oral. V'mokim Sheino Rogil Lishnois. And Rashi explains, because since you're not familiar with it, it's not an enjoyable experience. What is enjoyable is going over that which you are familiar with. The Koreh, and you can read B'Kinos. Kinos is a reference to the book of Eicha, the Megillas Eicha. Nowadays, the term Kinos has been used to refer to the prayers that have been compiled as laments over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and other tragedies that befell the Jewish people. But when you see the word kinos in the Gemara, it's a reference to Eicha. Eicha, which is in English called the Book of Lamentations, that was authored by the prophet Jeremiah, prophesying the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What else? Be'iyov, the Book of Iyov, the Book of Job. This is another area of allowed study on Tisha B'Av. U'bedvorim horoyim shebe Yirmiyah, and the other prophecies of destruction that you find in the Book of Yirmiyahu. V'tinoikish shebeis rabban b'teilin, and the students of the children, tinoikish shebeis rabban, children cease their Torah learning. Now, as far as the text is concerned, there are some that have an opposite reading in the Gemara text, but we're going to follow as we have it right in front of us. And why is there all of this Torah learning restriction? Mishum Shenemar, because it says, regarding Torah, Pikudei Hashem Yishorim Mesamche Lev. They are the source of Simcha. The Pikudei Hashem, the teachings of Hashem, are straight and upright, and they are a source of joy. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Af eino kore b'mokoyim she'eino rogi likros. Rav Yehuda is more restrictive than the Tanakam. It says, even areas of Torah learning that you're not familiar with, it, that the Tanakam says don't cause joy, Rav Yehuda nevertheless restricts that. So he says you cannot read from the written Torah even in unfamiliar areas. V'eino she'eino b'mokoyim she'eino rogi lishnois. Avol, and Rav Yehuda goes on with his list that is now similar to that which we saw before. Avol korehu be'iov uvekinois. You are allowed to read Iov and from Echa ubedvarim haroim shebirmiyahu v'tinoikis shebeis rabban betelin bo. And he agrees with the Tanakhama according to the text of our Gemara. Again, we said there are variant texts in this particular section, but here he seems to say, like the Tanakhama, the Tinukas Shebeis Rabbam are Betalin, Mishum Shenamar, because regarding Torah, it says, Pikude Hashem Yeshorim Mesamchi Lev, Torah is the source of joy. Lo Yochal Bosar, Velo Yishtayayin. Tana, Avol Oichel Hu, Bosar Moliach, Beshoise Yayin Migito. Even though there was this meat and wine consumption restriction regarding Erev Tisha B'Av, however, if it's Bosar Moliach, that means salted meat is meat that it has been preserved, it's been salted, and since it is such, it doesn't have a really good, rich meat taste to it. So it doesn't provide a sense of pleasure to the individual. And Shesu Yayin Migito is wine that's fresh from the wine press. A gas is a wine press. The Gemara now explains, qualifies what these terms mean. Bosar Moliach, Ad Kamo, means how long is meat considered still fresh? That even though it sat in salt, it hasn't sat in salt long enough for it to lose its original meat taste. So how long is meat still considered fresh? Omar Rav Chinuno Bar Kana Mishmei Dishmel Kolzman Shuhu Kishlomim, as long as it is like a Shlomim sacrifice, which is a nice way of saying 2 days. A Shlomim sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash was a type of a sacrifice that you had 2 days and the intervening or the interim night in which to consume it. After that, you have to burn it. It's called nosar. So it's a borrowed idea. The shlomim idea is a 2-day time period, so that if you have meat that you might have salted for the purpose of preservation, however, you take it out of the salt within 2 days, so that is what would be restricted on Erev Tisha B'Av. Continuing, v'yayin migito ad kamo, how long is wine considered yayin migito, wine from the press? Kolzman shehu toises, as long as it is bubbling. The wine, when it's in its initial fermentation, it bubbles, it froths. Tana, yayin toises ein bo mishum giloi. Wine that is toses, this bubbling, does not have the restriction of otherwise prohibited exposed wine. If one leaves, let us say, a cup of wine unattended, giloi, exposed, and you're not there watching it, the Talmud tells us that it is forbidden because there is a fear that a serpent, a snake, might have drank from it and deposited some venom in there. However, if you have wine that, though it's been left unattended, however, it's toses, it's bubbling, it's frothing, it is okay, even though it's been left exposed. And the reason for that is that the nochash, the serpent, will be fear struck by the bubbling. The kamotzisa, so how long is it like that? How long is wine considered toses? Gimel yomim, for 3 days. After that time, this frothing, bubbling aspect subsides, and the wine may continue to ferment, but it's no longer toses. And then, at that point, the gilui restriction would set in. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kachoyim min Hogeshu Rav Yehuda Rebeloi, thusly was the practice of the Tano Rav Yehuda Rebeloi, Erev Tisha B'Av, Mevi'in lo Pascha Revo B'melach, on Erev Tisha B'Av they would bring to him some dry bread with salt, the Yoshev, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Bain Tanur Likiraim, he would sit at a place in his house between these two types of ovens, a Tanur and a Kiraim. There are two types of ovens. It's considered a place in one's house, a place where filth accumulates. Rashi says, Moka Menuvel Shebabai is a disgusting, a dirty place in his house. He would sit there, V'oichel V'shoise Ole Kiton Shomayim, and he would eat that dry bread and drink a flask of water. The Doime Kemisha Mesoi Mutal Lofanov, and he created an impression someone related to him died, his dead one was lying in front of him. Of course, an expression of extreme mourning, and that's how he ate that simple meal before Tisha B'Av. Tanan Hossam, it's taught there. You find this Tanaic source in Maseches Pesachim, and on the side of the Gemara, we should note this is a new topic, the topic of Molocha B'Tisha B'Av, one who engages in work on Tisha B'Av. Mokom Shenagu Lasois Molocha B'Tisha B'Av Oisim, if you're in a locale that the practice is to go to work on Tisha B'Av, so be it, do it. Mokom Shenagu Shelo Lasois, if you're in a locale that people observe Tisha B'Av as a day of work restriction, where a person doesn't engage in his work activities, Ein Oisin, then you are not to do so. So that even if you, let us say, came from a place that the minig was to work on Tisha B'Av, and you find yourself in a place where the minig is not to work, you're not to work. U'b'chol mokoyim talmidei chachomim b'telim. And in all places, meaning even in locations that people do go to work on Tisha B'Av, so if you are a Torah scholar, you should cease from work. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer Li Oilom Yase Kol Adam Atzmo Ketalmud Chacham. Shimon Gamliel says that it's worthy to strive for everyone, even if he's not an actual Torah scholar, but he should practice the way of a Torah scholar and not do work on Tisha B'Av. Tanya Nami Hachi, and another Tanaic source that follows suit. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer Li Oilom Yase Adam Atzmo Ketalmud Chacham Kedei. A person should always make himself like a Talmud Chacham and avoid work on Tisha B'Av so that he should feel the real pain. Yisana inui nefesh is an expression referring to self-affliction. So a person should experience that on Tisha B'Av, and by avoiding malacha, so your mind won't be on other things, it'll be focused on Tisha B'Av. Tanya Idach, another Tanaic source, again featuring Shmuel Amliel, Shmuel Oimer, Kol Oicha V'Sheisa B'Tisha B'Av, Kilu Oicha V'Sheisa B'Yom HaKippurim. Anyone who eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av, it's as if he eats and drinks on Yom Kippur. Now everyone knows the severity of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. In fact, the Torah says that if one does so, he will suffer the kores penalty. Kores penalty is a very severe punishment in the Torah. And in order to convey the severity of Tisha B'Av, even though the source of eating restrictions of Tisha B'Av, the source is basically rabbinic, of course, it's not in the Torah, but in order to convey the severity of it, so he parallels it to eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Kol Ha'Oise Melacha B'Tisha B'Av, anyone who engages in work on Tisha B'Av, Eino Roeh Siman Brocha Li'Olam, he won't see any profit from that work forever. He won't benefit from that work, the work that he did on Tisha B'Av. And Rashi is very careful. It doesn't mean that he will never see Siman Brocha at all, but it means Me Oisa Malacha, from that Malacha that he did do on Tisha B'Av. So that even though it might be mutter to do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, one should not expect to see profits from it. V'chachomim oimim kol ha'oisim alocha b'tisha b'av v'eino mis'abel al Yerushalayim, anyone who does malocha on Tisha B'av and doesn't mourn the destruction of Jerusalem, einoi roya b'simchasa, will not see the joy of Jerusalem. Does not see. It's actually not in the future tense. Eino roe. He does not see the joy. Shenemar simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu ba kol oyhavea sisu ita masois kol hamis ablim oleha. The rejoice together with Jerusalem, all those who mourn over Jerusalem. Mikan amru. From here we say. He who mourns over Jerusalem merits seeing the joy of Jerusalem. One who doesn't mourn the destruction of Jerusalem does not see the joy of Jerusalem. The text, or this idea, and we did emphasize that it's in the present tense, it's not in the future tense. One might have thought that the teaching should say, he who mourns over Jerusalem will in the future merit to see the joy of Jerusalem. Why is it in the present context, the present tense? So I saw a commentary on this point once that says, conveys the following idea. It is true that Jerusalem, at least as of this recording, our hope is that while you're listening to this, it's no longer theory but fact that Jerusalem is already rebuilt. But as we are making this recording, so Jerusalem and certainly the Beis HaMikdash have not been rebuilt yet. Nevertheless, one who is capable of mourning the destruction that took place, the lack of the Beis HaMikdash, and you're capable of appreciating the loss, you are also capable of appreciating the fact that Judaism, the Jewish people, and the longing for the rebuilding continues. However, if you are, let's say, numb and care nothing of the fact that Jerusalem lies in ruins, and particularly the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt, and it's just in one's mind it's some type of historical event, but it's not the source of pain, so then people of that nature cannot appreciate the significance of the continuity of the Jewish people. There's a big gap, so that one doesn't really experience the current joy of the continuity of the Jewish people. But just to repeat ourselves, however, if one can lament and understand the enormity of the destruction that took place, and at the same time we continue to thrive as a people, still studying the original Torah and following the mitzvahs as they were given to us at Mount Sinai, that combination of appreciating or understanding the tremendous destruction and Holocaust that befell the Jewish people already back then, and we continue to thrive, that can be a source of absolute joy. We continue in the Gemara. Tanya Nami Hochi. We have another Tanaic source that supports this. Kol ha'oichel basar v'shoisi yayin b'tisha b'av, one who eats meat and drinks wine on Tisha B'av. It's interesting how it's not just saying here one who eats. One who eats is one thing, but he eats meat and drinks wine, which is a source of, we'll say, high form of personal pleasure. Olov ha'kosev omer. Regarding people like that, it says, "Vati avoynoisom al atzmoisom." Their sins are upon their very beings, upon their bones. In other words, they are, we'll say, out of the camp, if you will. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev b'kfiyas hamita v'lohodu lo chacham. We saw in the Mishnah that one is to invert his bed, but the chachamim don't agree. Tanya, Amru lo the Rabbi Yehuda. the Chachomim said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lidvorecha, according to you, that people have to invert their beds, Ubros Omenikos, women that are pregnant or women that are nursing, Mateleim, what's going to be with them? They can't sleep on the floor. Omar Lohem, so Rabbi Yehuda answered, Afani lo amarti elo biyachol. My halacha of inverting the beds and not sleeping on them is only with regard to those people who are able to sleep on the ground. Tanyo nami hochi, and we have a Tanaic source that says like this, Moide Rabbi Yehuda l'chachomim b'she'eno yochol. The Rabbi Yehuda concedes to the Chachomim that there is no need for inverting the bed if you are eino yochol, if you're not capable of sleeping on the ground. Umoydim Chachomim Rabbi Yehuda abi yochol. And interestingly, the Chachomim concede to Rabbi Yehuda, he is capable of sleeping on the floor, so he does invert his bed. My binayhu. Well, after reading this source, it doesn't seem that there's any argument between them, and we know there's an argument, so what's the point of difference? Iko binayu, the point of difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim will be sha'ar mitos, other beds in the house. These are a reference to other beds that you don't sleep on. Kidisanya, kisha'omru lichbois hamita, when the halacha says invert the bed, lo mitaso bilvad hu kofa, not only the bed that he sleeps on is he to invert, rather, all the beds in the house he is to invert. Now that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachomim will disagree and say that the other beds one does not have to invert. Omar Rava, Hilchisa Ketana Didan. The halacha follows our Tana. V'loyhoidu lo chachomim kol ikur, and the chachomim do not agree with him whatsoever. Let us reread this last line with the alternative reading that's presented on the side of the Gemara. Omar Rava hilchaso ketana didon de ka'omar v'lo hodu lo chachomim kol ikur. The halacha follows the opinion of our Tana that disagrees with Reb Yehuda insofar as that there is no need to invert the bed. Now, how far that goes, we'll take a look at the, first we'll look at the Tosfos. Omar Rava halacha ketana didon v'lo hodu lo chachomim pirush she'ein tzorich lichpois hamita. So the Rava is ruling that there is no need to invert the bed. And now that is as far as Tisha B'Av is concerned, that there is no need for bed inversion. V'ho'idna Rashi, the Tosfos continues and says, and nowadays, and Tosfos is speaking from his own perspective and not from the Gemara's perspective, but a later ruling that Oidno nowadays the Chayshinun Likshofim, that there is the fear that a person will be suspect of black magic, Lo Avdinon Kfiya Samita Filu Ba'avel or Be'avel, that not only Tisha B'Av but even mourners who ordinarily in the time of the Gemara would have been expected to invert their beds. And it seems from here that the Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim was a Tisha B'Av Machloikis, but not regarding mourners. Regarding mourners, there was an expectation, or there is from the Gemara's standpoint, a mourner for a dead relative who recently died. Even the Chachamim would have said, you invert your bed. Tosfos is saying that nowadays when Gentile neighbors might suspect you of practicing black magic, and that could lead to very dangerous results. We know of even in American history, we know of things called witch hunts and the like, where people were suspect of practicing black magic, and that could result in dire consequences. So Tosfos is saying even mourners will avoid the practice of inverting beds. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, lo hoyu yomim tovim li Yisrael kechamisha sor ba'avu chiyom ha-kipurim. we saw in the Mishnah that there were no holidays as joyful as the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. Bishlamo Yom HaKippurim, it's easy to understand why Yom Kippur would be classified as a festive day, as a Yom Tov, Mishum Deis Beislicho Mechila. It has part of it is that it's a day of atonement where the Almighty forgives his people for sins. Yom Shenitnu Bo Luchos Vachronos. And it is also the date we commemorate on Yom Kippur, the receiving of the second set of Ten Commandments. After the first set was smashed upon the Maisa Egel, the worshipping of the golden calf, and Moshe Rabbeinu's breaking of the first set of Luchos, the second set of Luchos were brought to the Jewish people on Yom Kippur. Rashi goes through the calculations, how you get to that piece of information, so one can look there. Elo, we continue in the Gemara, Elo, Tu Be'av, or the 15th of Av, Tu is Tes Vav, Tes is 9, Vav is 6, 9 and 6 is 15th. The 15th of Av, like we say, Tu B'Shvat, what is the significance of Tu Be'av, my he, what is its significance? In order to answer this question, we will see, and we note this on the side under our Mivneh heading, you can see a triangle is featured. These are Deos, Lahazbir, Mahoya, Miyuchad, B'tu Be'av, Shebgloloi Nechshav, Yom Tov. Different opinions as to what happened on the 15th of Av. Historically, what happened on that day that we commemorated as if it were a holiday. So we go through a number of opinions. Omar reviewed Omar Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvotim Lovoi Ze Bozeh. This is the day upon which a ruling was presented. A ruling was made that the tribes can marry one with the other. We'll call it intermarriage between the different tribes of Israel. In other words, there was a point in time that the tribes could marry only within each tribe. However, there was a ruling that said that that restriction is no longer binding. My Dorush, what was taught? The Pasuk says, Zeh ha-dover asher tzivu Hashem livnois tzlafchad v'chulei. And we darshan from this Pasuk, Dover Zeh is a restriction to, is a reference to the restriction of marrying only within one's tribe. Lo yehe noyig ela bedor zeh is binding only on that generation, the generation that was in the desert anticipating entrance to the land of Israel. For more information on this particular topic, we are deliberately keeping it terse, but the Gemara in Bava Basra elaborates on this quite a bit. So, for our purposes, one should just realize that there had been a time-bound restriction of marrying from one tribe into the other, and on the 15th of Av, it was ruled that that restriction is no longer binding, no longer a restriction. Omer of Yosef, Omer of Nachman. Another opinion. Yom Shehuter Shevet Binyamin Lovo Bakol. It was the day that the tribe of Benjamin was once again allowed to marry into the rest of Israel. Shenemar. Now, this is a reference to an incident that is reported in the book of Judges in Sefer Shoftim, and as a result of an internal war between the tribe of Binyamin and the rest of the Jewish people, as a result of strife that had developed, the pasuk says, "V'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzpah lemor ish mimenu lo yitein bito leBinyamin liisha." The rest of the tribes of Israel had sworn that they will not allow their children to marry. They will not give their daughters over to Binyamin, to the tribe of Binyamin. My Dorosh, what was darshaned, what was taught on the 15th of Av? Omar Rav, mimenu velo mi bonenu. That the restriction applies to us, meaning right now there in Sefer Shoftim, but that restriction doesn't, and mimenu is viewed as a limitation. The restriction is only that are on us, but not applying to our descendants. Rabo Bar Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. Yom, he gives his opinion as to what's the festive nature of the 15th of Av. Yom Shekolu Bo Meisei Midbar. The day on which the generation that left Egypt and fell victim to the evil report of the spies and were sentenced to die in the Midbar, it's on the 15th of Av that their dying, that and they had been dying over the course of 40 years. It's not as if people dropped dead at once on the day that the report was received, but the dying of that generation, which took place over the course of 40 years, stopped on the 15th of Av. The Omar Mar, it was taught, Ad Shelo Kolu Meisei Midbar, during that time, during that era, and it seems to be quite a long period of time, almost 40 years, Lo Hoya Dibur Im Moshe, the Almighty did not have his intimately close form of communication with Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Vayikasher Tomu Kol Anshei HaMilchomo Lomus, and it was when all the people of that time died, when they finished dying, Vayadaber Hashem Eli, and then the Almighty spoke to me. And what does that mean, he spoke to me? Eli Hoyo Hadibor, the speech resumed to be a direct, clear, intimate form of communication. The Meforshim point out that over the 40 years that they were in the desert, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was communicating to Moshe Rabbeinu. However, not in this direct form of intimate communication, Peh El Peh Adabir Bo, like the Pasuk says, I speak to him directly. But rather it was through a communication that was more of an abstract, a vague type communication characteristic of other prophets. Now, as far as the 15th of Av and how it is related to the stopping, the cessation of their deaths, Rashi elaborates on this point a bit. Let's look at the Rashi together. Shikolu Meisei Midbar. Desanya. Kol Arboim Shana, Shohoyuba Midbar, all 40 years that they were in the desert, Bechol Erev Tisha B'Av, every Eve of the 9th of Av, Hakruz, and bear in mind that this date is the date that the Meraglim, the spies, had come back with their evil report concerning the land of Israel, and the people fell for it, as we have already learned. So every year subsequently on the 9th of Av, there was an announcement, Hoya Hakruz Yotzei V'Yomer. The announcement would go and say, Tzu Lachpor, everyone should go and dig their graves. Everyone would dig a grave and sleep in that grave. Shema Yomus Kunev Shachpor. Because otherwise he might die before he would dig the grave. So people would anticipate this event. They would dig the graves and sleep in them. Ulamochar Kruz Yotze V'Kurei, and the next day the announcement would go out and say, Yibodlu Chaim in Amesim, let the living separate from the dead. V'chol Shehoya Bo Nefesh Chaim, anyone who was still alive, Hoya Oymeid V'Yotze, would get up out of the grave and leave it. V'chol Shana Hoya Oysen Kain, every year they would do this. Ubishnas Arboim Shana, on the 40th year, Asu, they did that. Ulamochar Amdu Kulam Chaim, and on the next morning, they all got up and everyone was still alive. V'kevon Shiro Kach Tomo V'yomru, they, so everyone's still alive. That was unusual. They got used to people remaining in those graves over the course of the 40 years, so they were amazed to see that everyone got out. And they said, Shema To'inu B'cheshbon HaChodesh, maybe we're off. They bear in mind we're not dealing with a society that had had digital calendars, so you're dealing with people that were basing their knowledge of the date on moon sightings and appreciation of the phase of the moon. So they figured maybe we're off. Maybe the reason everyone got up because it's not really the 9th of Av yet. Chazur v'shachvu b'kivrayim. Balelos, they went back, and the next couple of nights they went back into the graves and slept. Ad Leil Chamishos, until the night of the 15th. Now, what do we know about the 15th of the lunar month? That the moon is full phase. The Kevan Shirosh Nismalavona Betesvov, and now that they saw that the moon had achieved its full phase, they knew it's the 15th of the month. The lo meis echo mehem, and no one died. Yaldu Shecheshvel Chodesh Mechuvan, they realized that their calculation had been accurate. Ukvar mem shana shogzera nishmalu, and now the 40-year gezera, the original heavenly ruling of 40 years that they will die in the Midbar, has finished. Kavuos Adolos Hayom Yom Tov, and that generation, they made the 15th of the month, the 15th of Av, is the day that it became clear to them that the Gezerah, that the heavenly ruling has terminated. They declared that day a holiday. We continue in the Gemara. Ulo Omar Yom Shabita Hoshev and Olo Prustios Shoshev Yerovim Ben Nevod Al Adrochim Shelo Yalu Yisrael Loregel. The 15th of Av was the date on which Hoshev ben Olo was a later king of the northern kingdom of Israel, which was established originally by Yerovim Ben Nevod when he split the Jewish kingdom from the southern part, which was headed by Rehavam ben Shlomo, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. When Yerovam split the kingdom, he also imposed a ban and set up guards preventing people from traveling to Jerusalem during the Aliyas HaRegel, the thrice annual pilgrimage. So on the 15th of Av, many years later, Hoshea ben Ola, he abandoned or he canceled those guards. V'omar, and Hoshea announced, we continue at the top of Lamed Aleph, he said, Le'ezu Shiyutsu Yalu, anyone who wants to go on Aliyas HaRegel shall go. So that was worth commemorating as a festive day. And that was on the 15th of Av. Rav Matana Omar Yom Shinutnu Haruge Beitar Likvura. Rav Matana tells us that the 15th of Av was the day that those who were murdered and killed by the Romans in Beitar. Beitar was a very large, important, significant city at the time, and all those that had been killed were left unburied for a while. Miraculously, we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, miraculously they did not die. They did not decay, the bodies didn't decay, but they had been left unburied for a while. So that day, on the 15th of Av, they were then buried. The Omar Rav Matana, Oiso Yom Shinit Naruge Beta Likfura, the day that they were given to being buried, Tiknu B'Yavne Hatoiv Vametiv. In Yavne, which was the Torah center of the time after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we know that Yavne became the Torah center. So they established the fourth bracha of the Birchas HaMazon, which we know as Hatov Vametiv. And the double expression Hatov Vametiv is explained: Hatov Shelo Hisrichu, the good that is that their bodies did not decay. Vametiv means shednitnu l'kvura, that they were given to being buried, which of course is an expression of honor and decency to the dead. So the day or the date in which the people were able to bury the victims of Beitar was the 15th of Av. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Travayu, Yom Sheposku Milichrois Eitzim L'Marocha. It was the date at which time they stopped chopping wood for the Mizbeach. The Marocha is the fireplace on the Mizbeach. In other words, wood that had been prepared up till the 15th of Av was set out in the sun to dry. and the drying out of the wood was important so as to ensure that there were no worms in it. Worms don't continue, they don't live in dry wood. So up till the 15th of Av, the sun was shining in full force, drying out the wood, and hence there was incentive for them to chop wood to expose it to the sun to be dried out. However, from the 15th of Av, you have to realize you're dealing with the summer months, but in the latter part of the summer, the sun, the hours of sunlight, the length of the days, starts getting reduced. And there's less sunlight and less heat, less sunshine, so there's less a chance of the wood being effectively dried out. So that, we'll call it the cutoff point. If you like the pun, that's great. The cutoff point was the 15th of Av. So that's the day that they stopped chopping wood for the Marocha. Desanya, Rabbi Lezer Agodol Olimer, Michamisha Sorba Av Ve'elech, from the 15th of Av onwards, Toshash Kechesh Shelchamo, the strength of the sun is reduced, is weakened. They would not chop wood anymore for the Beis HaMikdash fireplace, because they won't effectively dry out. Omar Rav Menashe, Rav Menashe tells us that day is called Yom Tavar Magal, the day of the smashing of the hatchets. It's a figure of speech, of course, and that the smashing of the hatchets was stopped, meaning they stopped using them. Mikan v'elech, from the 15th of Av onwards, we said that the days are getting shorter. It means the nights are getting longer. Daytime was the time people would be engaged in work, in agricultural work outdoors, where sunlight was necessary. So daytime represents the time of work. From the 15th of Av onwards, the nights were getting longer. So at night you don't work. So what does a person do if he's not working? He should be learning Torah. Mikan ve'elech, we say, demoisif yosef, he who increases his study of Torah with these longer nights, Yosef will continue with a long life. It's a means of extending one's life. Udaloy Yosef, however, one who doesn't take advantage of the longer nights for increased Torah study, then there are different. There's a girsa of Yosef or Yosef. That means he will not have a longer life. And my Yosef, what does that mean? It means Omar of Yosef, tikberei ime, let his mother bury him. In other words, it means a shortening of life. If one does not outlive his parent buries him. It's an indication that he's died prematurely. We know Torah is called Eitz Chaim Hi L'machzikim Bo. It's called the tree of life for those who support it, and especially those who learn it. And if one doesn't take advantage of it, so the opposite is also the case. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.